Thank you, Chair. Australia shares the sentiments you expressed yesterday, reflecting the commitment states have shown to this process and to achieving a meaningful declaration, capable of improving the protection of civilians in the context of armed conflict in populated areas. We recognise the challenges posed by the use of a WIPA and welcome the efforts of the international community and Ireland's leadership in addressing this issue. It is of paramount importance that we ensure that the commitments outlined in this declaration are clear, capable of being implemented, and best serve the goal of improving civilian protection in armed conflict, a goal which has been drawn into sharp focus by the humanitarian disaster resulting from Russia's unprovoked, unjust, and illegal invasion of Ukraine. In this regard, we have a number of suggestions in addition to our comments on Section 2 yesterday, which relate to key areas in this draft declaration. We will submit detailed comments on all four sections to you in writing. However, we do want to take the opportunity to make a few points of particular importance to us on the floor. Many of these reflect areas highlighted by other delegations over the past 2 days. Chair, Australia has paid particular attention to Section 3 of the Declaration. As the operative section of the Declaration, this section is of central importance. Australia shares the significant concerns raised by other delegations in relation to the wording of paragraph 3.3. We cannot support this paragraph as currently drafted, but would like to offer some suggestions we think would better achieve the balance between the goal of improving the protection of civilians and recognising legitimate military imperatives. We have been listening with interest to the suggestions of other delegations in relation to this section and welcome the constructive engagement on alternative wording. A particular issue for our delegation is wording which calls on forces to adopt policies and practices to avoid civilian harm. We think this could be erroneously interpreted as a presumptive ban on the use of explosive weapons as a class in populated areas. We would suggest the terminology avoid and in any event minimise to better align with IHL obligations. We would also support the phrasing offered by our colleagues from the United States around implementing a range of policies and practices to help avoid civilian harm, or phrasing offered by the United Kingdom to avoid, restrict or refrain where feasible. Chair, like many other delegations, we also maintain reservations around the terminology reverberating effects. Reverberating effects is not a defined concept under IHL, and potentially inconsistent interpretations risk generating ambiguity. This may undermine the practical effect of the declaration. To that extent, we would echo the caution expressed by others in relation to this term and suggest replacing reverberating effects with indirect effects or severe and long-lasting indirect effects for clarity and consistency. This is particularly the case in relation to operative sections such as paragraph 3.4. Chair, we welcome the recommencement of discussions on this draft declaration. We look forward to continuing to engage with you and the international community towards achieving a declaration which strikes the delicate balance between recognising that explosive weapons remain a legitimate means of warfare under IHL while making meaningful contributions to the protection of civilians in armed conflict. Thank you, Chair.